This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
And it is I, Rhett Palmer. It's a new day, and we have Charlie Muller on the line. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm great.
Good to have you here. And I knew Charlie maybe 35 years ago.
Yes.
At that point, I don't know what you were doing for a living. I know I knew you. I don't really remember specifically, but we were hanging around some of the same groups in Albany, New York. And since I left town this summer, I went to a men's retreat. And guess who was running the men's retreat with his church? Charlie Muller himself. He is the head pastor of Victory Church in Albany, New York. And first, I'd like to know, how did you go from being, sort of on the just a regular guy to becoming the pastor of this big church in Albany, New York?
Well, I just believe it's the call of God on individuals' lives to be faithful, to serve him. And I think, for people that might listen today, I think they just need to be open to that very plan that God has and submit to his will. And you never know what journey God's going to take you on. And we're all on a journey, but we all have a story to tell, and we all have a story that we're writing every single day.
Okay. One story is I heard from David Preston Usher, who's a lifetime friend, came to know the Lord 6 months after me about 40 years ago. And he said, when you were younger, that you brought groceries to a poor family, and the little boy in that household grew up to be a successful businessman, sold his business for millions of dollars, and recently wrote your church a check for $1 million. Is that true?
Well, the story is this. We came to Albany 30 years ago, and I read an article in the newspaper how 30% of inner-city children go to bed hungry. And I was like, we can do something about this. This is what God's called us to do, is take care of the poor and really try to meet a need. And we developed a feeding program that over the 30 years started programs. We were feeding in 19 lunches. Some days we would feed 1,600 kids a day throughout the summer. Over 1 million meals. And we were just faithful. And on that journey, just a couple of, probably 3 years ago, this gentleman had a large business, a couple businesses, and he was donating some chips through a vending business that he had. And we developed a little bit of a friendship, and he shared that story with me, how it was Christmas time and someone knocked on the door and there was bags of groceries. And because of that, he remembers it, and he wanted to give to us because that's what we do. We take care of the foster, not only foster kids, but inner city kids, and feed them. And so he wanted to give back. And his story was he at 16 years old, he was in Water Valley, New York, jumped on the back of a garbage truck, and not many years later, he owned the garbage company. And so
that's great.
And that just shares his story on and he shared the night that he was getting an award, and the award was for Executive of the Year. And he called me at 4 o'clock and he said, I want you to be there because I want to present you with a check. And so when we were there, we were having dinner, he got up there and just such a humble, great man. And literally, I can say literally, I know he's just a very sensitive man and very wise man, but, through his story, and he was sharing, he said, I want to share with everybody here, I went to a friend's house and they said, we're having steak for dinner. The mom said, are you excited? And he goes, well, ma'am, I don't know what steak is. She goes, what do you mean you don't know what steak is? Let me call your mom. And she called his mom, and his mom said, no, we've never had steak. And he shared that story, and then he shared about what we do as a church, and he called me up, and yeah, he handed me a check for $1 million.
In front of this audience had to go
in front
nuts.
Of all the businesses that were present in the Capital Region, these are all, and there was like 10 awards given that night, And so, and I shared a little bit about the story. Like I said, I read that how 30% of inner city kids, and now how it's just broken systems, because we didn't do what everybody else was doing to feed the multitude of kids we did. They said, well, you got to feed in churches and in schools during the summer. We said, well, the kids won't go back. There's very little kids going back because they're stuck in their neighborhood. They're not walking across town. And we said, we got to go where they are. And so we broke the rule. But then the rule we broke became the rule in New York State throughout the years after we showed them that that's the way we need to feed kids, to go where they are.
I think that's so beautiful. That's just great. I mean, I don't know. Had you ever gone hungry in your life at all?
You know, I came from myself personally. I came from very little. My dad was in the service. We traveled the world. We had four of us. There was not a lot of money, you know. And when I got back to America, I graduated from a country school because we got back here at ninth grade. But because of all my years prior, we're in Germany and England, and you're moving every 3-4 years, you're moving. You don't get a real good education because you're trying to catch up. You're going to a new school. And so I actually was going to become a professional boxer.
Really?
And I would get $20 a fight. I knew Mike Tyson's trainer, Casamata. I fought locally in the Empire State Plaza.
I've interviewed Mike. But we'll get into that later. But you knew Cuss himself?
Well, Cuss rode with me to the Empire State Games.
Oh,
he sat next to me.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so, when I got saved, when I accepted Jesus, I was just finished the Empire State Games. And that next week I accepted Jesus. And when I accepted Jesus, I said, I can't fight no more, because the first scripture he gave me was love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
So I couldn't pursue that any longer. And I was out of the house living with my brother on his porch, had no money, had no car, had nothing. And I just had a heart that loved Jesus, man. I'm telling you, I was 24 years old, never had a real job. And God just started to just bless my life, because I started to just serve him wherever I went. And actually, my first job was picking up old tires in dumpsters and in garages. And they would pay you for the casing so that they can put a recap on it. And I would get $3 a tire. And I started doing that. And while I was doing that, I was reaching out, doing evangelism in foster group homes like Berkshire Farm. And I would do their Friday night service. They didn't have a service, like five people would come on Sunday. So I opened up a service on Friday nights, and no kids would come for the first month. I didn't have one kid come to chapel. But when I seen, and I read in a newspaper article that's when Jordans first came out, that two kids in Florida murdered a kid and took his sneakers. For his sneakers, they murdered him. So I said, if they could kill somebody for sneakers, let me see what I can do giving away a pair of sneakers. So that next week I said, if you come to chapel, now these are all foster kids in a campus group home. There was over 130 kids there. When I said I was going to give away a pair of Air Jordans, I had 100 kids in the chapel.
And that's great.
And it was history from there. And I just kept working, kept picking up tires, and God just kept blessing. And I felt a real strong call of God on my life to go to the city, to go to Albany and start a church that would reach out to kids and foster kids and reach out to those that are hurting the most.
You know, I think that's great. You bought the Air Jordans. That's a terrific idea. You know, I had an idea. Now, I did not do it, but I thought, you know, like I know there's a car wash in town here. And a lot of the people working at the car wash are not well-to-do in the least, you know, living in rooming houses and stuff. And I thought, for some reason, I thought this was an ungodly idea in a way. But I said, I was wondering if I could go there and then say, hey, I'll give you $50 if you let our bus pick you up Sunday morning and come to church. And I figured, you know, maybe they need the extra dough. And then what happens if somebody gets sold? What's the price of a soul? You know, who's
absolutely.
You know, so
no.
Why? I mean, does God say we can't do that? Pay people to go to temple, pay people to go to the church. Why not?
The problem, Brett, the problem is we always do the same things. You go to 50 churches, they're doing the same thing.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
not doing anything out of the box.
Yep.
And we took this little church in Albany. I can walk down any street, and I'm not lifting me up. I'm not, believe me.
No, I know you're not.
But I can walk down any street in Albany, and within a block, somebody will call, hey, Pastor Charlie, how you doing? And I'm talking the worst streets in the city. But when you fed kids for 30 years and you were in the neighborhood, you're out there on the blocks and you're really caring and you're giving in the summertime bicycles to kids to get around. You're having, Christmas. You're giving Christmas presents to over 1,000 families. You're just doing the work. You're busy about, but we need to get out of the box. You know, so there's so many great ideas like that. Well, why couldn't you do that?
Yeah.
That could impact that person's life.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and we are called, every single one. Now, every Christian that's listening to my voice is called to be an evangelist. The Bible says we're all called.
Ministry of Reconciliation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the church needs to be the engine that drives that thing, you know? And if we do the right things, I'm telling you, and you can take our church was not that big. It was not that big. Listen, when I went there 30 years ago, it was just me. I didn't have a church plan.
There you go.
I didn't know anybody in Albany. I was from New Lebanon. And I bought an old post office that they turned into a health club. And I had $130,000 that I saved through working the tires and doing that business. And, when I went to buy the property, they said, you can't buy this property. They want $500,000 for it. I go, well, I want to make an offer. And they go, well, they're not going to take the offer. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I got $130,000, $133,000. I'll tell the bank, because the bank had it. I'll give them $33,000 down. I want them to hold a $100,000 mortgage. And if I'm a day late on the mortgage payment, they can take it back. Well, the guy came back to me and says, I don't know why they're doing it, but they're going to do it. And I said, well, on top of that, I want them to give me the key now so that I can renovate it and close in 30 days. I have to close in 30 days so I don't have to pay the taxes the next year. And I said, I want to walk out this door with the key so I can go in it. They never do that. No, there's no way.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
I know this is basic in some respect. But it's the most important thing of all the things that we know. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The only way to come is through Jesus Christ. Everybody can build your own God, but the truth is there's one true God and there's only one way to come to him. And even though you may feel differently, you're still going to have to answer to these things someday. Just because you believe it's not true doesn't make it not true. God is love, but his justice commands that there will someday be judgment against sin. Remember, these are words of Christ, the loving Christ. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And so I believe it's more love to speak truth than it is to make people feel comfortable